Eating Scotch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, bringing you pantsless movie reviews for years. Since 2000-something.
You know, I make it a point to not wear pants when I go see movies.
When I see movies?
And then when I go to the movies, yeah, that's usually where they want me to put them on. Although not always.
Anyway.
I have to take off clothes during movies.
This week's show is brought to you by Neil's Underwear.
What are you talking about? Wow.
We are.
Your humor center in your positronic brain has gotten static electricity in it or something.
Well, no, this week in the Magical Studio in the Sky, it's pants optional.
It's always pants optional in the Magical Studio in the Sky.
Well, I'm wearing I like to conduct myself in a more professional manner. But
I've been to your end of the Magical Studio in the Sky. It's nothing but a giant window where people can walk by and
little kids screaming
and pointing and
what I'm saying is that this week they can drink it in.
Wonderful.
Anyway, this week we've got two movies to talk about. We got MacGruber.
I'm gonna go throw up now.
What?
MacGruber. I'm gonna go throw up now.
Okay. We've also got Shrek, the movie that keeps getting retitled. I think it's called the final chapter?
It's called The Final Chapter. I actually said, I was on the Golden Briefcase podcast this week, and I actually assured them that it was Forever After, and I was wrong.
Yeah, Shrek, We Just Want Your Money. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about, in our third segment, the movie that is sweeping the plains of the United States, The Human Centipede, which is about things that we can't even really say on the radio because it's...
We'll talk in the third segment about The Human Centipede.
Strange movie. Anyway, in between now and then, if you need to get a hold of us, not that you can listen to this live, this is all pre-recorded, you can...
Be a bigger feat than you'd ever imagine.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people out there, well, they'll record podcasts and stuff, they'll do it live. It never would happen with Fat Guys.
No, I don't think so. Because the last time we were live on the air together, I made really, really inappropriate cancer jokes.
No, it wasn't even that. It's just that it wouldn't be this. We could do it live, but it'd be a different time every week.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, everybody get up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, and we'll record a podcast. Anyway,
I'm pretty sure
here's how you can get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go over to iTunes, search iTunes, just search Fat Guys at the Movies, and you can subscribe to us, download us, and hopefully review us. Although I would wait another few episodes before reviewing us. Based on what's going to happen this week.
Episode is going to be a mess because Neil is sleep deprived.
We don't know what's going to happen.
And cranky.
You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. Pretty sure we still paid the bill on that phone number, so you can.
We
still
do
call
have
it.
A voicemail. We do have a voicemail.
Cool. We'll get to that here a little bit later. Actually, that's a very interesting topic that I can't wait to make people angry about. You can also get us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies and twitter.com/rejects. We'll get you various things that I say, and twitter.com/kevincarr with two R's will get you late night live tweeting of movies from Kevin
and
Carr.
Other random shenanigans throughout the
sure
week.
Announcements of when you're going to record so that you can try and call in live to the pre-recorded show.
Whatever. Let's go to the first movie. It's already you've already derailed it.
Yeah.
You were at the controls and you just knocked it right off the
track. It was the pants thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, from like the opening. The first thing you said, literally, after I'm Neil Miller, pants off. Anyways,
well, I introduced the show. So that people know where they are.
Wonderful.
So that they know when they're like, I'm never going to listen to this again, they know what to not listen to ever again.
That's right.
Again.
You give them all the contact information so they can delete all that, put us in spam filters and all that good stuff.
I like to do what I can. I'm a consumer advocate.
Yeah, I suppose. Sure.
Anyway.
Well, advocate us on MacGruber, would you please?
MacGruber is a movie in which Will Forte brings his SNL MacGyver-esque sketch to the big screen, saving the world from Val Kilmer, the real silent killer.
2 days ago, a Russian convoy carrying the X-5 nuclear warhead got jacked. Yesterday, reliable sources informed us it's made its way to U.S. soil.
I'm going to turn Washington, D.C. into a pile of ash.
This is a very tall order. We need the best. Get me MacGruber.
I'm in.
What?
I'm in.
Hello, MacGruber.
And I really do wish we could say the name of the villain in our review, but it's very radio inappropriate.
It's an R-rated name.
It's Dieter von C. I'll let you figure out what the C stands for. Although the word that comprises his last name ends with an H.
Wow.
So, you know, you can figure that out. Anyway, yeah. I saw this movie in its an unfinished version at South by Southwest this year.
And, which meant everything was exactly as it's supposed to be, and then it says cut to huge explosion.
Well, it kind of. Actually, it was the final cut of the movie, as far as I understand it, because I had talked to Jorma Taccone, who directed it. He's the guy, Andy Samberg, and that other guy do the SNL digital shorts. They did...
this is like the Three Tenors, Pavarotti, you know, whatever.
It really is. I don't even know the other guy. Like, he was in the I'm on a Boat video. He's in all the digital shorts. Akiva Schaefer. No, that's not it. Akiva something. Anyway, so Jorma Taccone directed it, and
is it any good?
It was very funny. It's very it sticks to its guns of absurdity, which is nice. And one of the things that, you know, you always question when you do an SNL movie, and I know we're going to talk about SNL movies in the third segment, is, you know, is there enough material there? And I think MacGruber is an interesting one, because if you've ever seen the SNL sketch, he essentially for 15 seconds talks about nothing and then blows up.
Yeah.
And that's not how the movie is. The movie is an actual movie.
It's
about
longer than 15 seconds.
Yeah, the movie is an actual movie, and I really feel like it is the homage to 80s action movies that Kevin Smith thought he was making with Cop Out, but done well in this case. Done by people who have actually seen a bunch of 80s action movies. Like, there's
to quote an 80s action movie, I'll buy that for a dollar.
There's a scene early on that's like straight out of Rambo 3. I mean, straight out of Rambo 3, and it's hilarious.
Awesome.
So it's very funny. Will Forte is very funny. The action actually delivers. There's a few explosions that I can't wait to see again, because they weren't really done in the version that I saw.
Because you didn't actually see.
But I'll tell you this, the humor works. And the humor works because Will Forte is very, very, very funny. Val Kilmer is very, very, very funny. And Kristen Wiig is very, very, very funny. And it's similar to the Wayne's World equation, where if you take these characters and you flesh them out in the right way, those actors behind them will make it interesting and make it funny. And
Will MacGruber 2 be as bad as Wayne's World 2? That's the question.
Well, there's still that debate on whether or not Wayne's World 2 is bad. But I think it's probably easily one of the three best SNL movies right there with Wayne's World and Blues Brothers.
The three best movies of the summer. It's the third week of the summer.
No, but I liked it. I say it rocks. You know, if you have ever chuckled at one of the MacGruber sketches and or like 80s action movies, there's a chance you might like MacGruber.
I'm looking forward to it. But yes, we got to go to a break.
Cool. When we come back, we're going to talk about that big green ogre guy. And we're back here on Fat Guys the Movies. And speaking of movies about Saturday Night Live sketches, there was, of course, Wayne's World, we mentioned several times in the last segment.
Which is going to be one of those 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of connections.
Mike Myers was in that movie, and speaking of Mike Myers, I guess he's still doing Shrek movies, I'm told.
Well, supposedly this is supposed to be the last one, because he said he's not going to do any more, but really, can't you just get somebody else to do a bad Scottish accent and go, donkey!
I guess. The Shrek movies, Shrek has become, in my mind, more of a marketing and toy sales property than any other movie in the current era. Like, that's the only reason why they're still making Shrek movies. There's no creative anything behind it in my mind. It's really like they could just take Shrek and make a bunch of straight to DVD like sequels, and it
Which
would continue
already
to
have
do well
already with these like half hour. They put them
so,
on like Nickelodeon and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so it really kind of makes me interested in why they would even make a movie to put in theaters anymore.
Because they all make like $200 to $300 million.
Well, there's that.
There,
I
yeah.
suppose. So, but then that just proves my point. That
we'll jump
just in it for the money.
Well, yeah. Well, let's just jump into the review here. This is Shrek, the final chapter. It's been given like about 18 different names, but the final chapter. Shrek wants to be a bachelor, wants a bachelor ogre again, and when he makes a deal with Rumpelstiltskin, he finds his life has changed forever after in 3D.
Sometimes I wish I had just one day to feel like a real ogre again.
Well, why didn't you say so? Magical transactions are my specialty.
All right, Rumpel, this wasn't part of the deal.
Silly little ogre, everything's changed. I'm king now.
Oh, this little piggy wants to go home.
I've never seen you before in my life.
It's me, your best friend.
Help! I've been kidnapped by a deranged ogre!
You didn't see this, right?
No, they had a morning screening, but I had to do a Band of Brothers marathon that
day.
They
showed ours at
thing
like
we planned
9 a.m. on a Saturday.
When ours was at like 10.
This theater we went to, I don't think they've had a 9 a.m. showing since when they were showing The Dark Knight 24 hours a day. So
yeah, it's funny because they had a 10 a.m. screening of... Oh, no, it wasn't Shrek. It was something else. Yeah. It was Splice last week. It was like
you take the
3 hours before the theater even opened.
Wow. The one good thing is being a 9 a.m. screening, we were out like at 10:30. It's an hour and a half long, which is probably the best thing going for this movie.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because it's short. Let's put it this way. I thought Shrek, the first one, was cute. The second one I thought was really funny. I really enjoyed the second one.
The second one was the best one.
So do I. Because the third one sucked so bad. It was so just flat and stupid. This one is better than the third one, but it's not like... It's still, like you said, you can tell they're just, you know, going again for another... They're like, hey, let's just make another movie. Which
just
I can't...
they can.
I don't disparage that. I mean, like, hey, if people want to see more Shrek movies, you know, fine, let them have it. I'm not going to say you shouldn't make them. It's just... They kind of go into some new territory because the whole thing is it goes back to the past. We've seen this before. They did this with the Santa Claus 3. It's basically the same kind of story. You know?
Oh, woo. I really think that there are several listeners that went, Santa Claus 3, I've got to see this movie now. If it's anything like Santa Claus 3.
Yeah, this one doesn't have Martin Short in it, though.
Is it a back to basics type story?
It's a thing where they go back and they undo the first movie so that it's if this never happened, then the bad guy gets to take over. And look, don't think too much about this movie. If you go see it and you just sit there and go, let me see the movie, and then you'll be fine. But
is Lord Farquaad still in it?
No, it's just Rumpelstiltskin, who kind of looks a little bit like Farquaad. And that's the thing. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. It's sort of sad when you get to the fourth film and your best thing, the greatest thing you can say is you're like, it wasn't awful. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's not good.
It has everything you'd expect from a Shrek movie. It's got fart humor and belching and you've got the twisted fairy tales things. Although they don't do that to death, which I guess is what I thought was an improvement over the last one. Because, you know, by the third Shrek movie and... you know, Hoodwinked and Happily Never After and Ella Enchanted, I got tired of the anachronistic fairy tale jokes.
You're not into the alternate fairy tale storylines?
Well, I thought they were cute when they were original, like 10 years ago, but they're not funny anymore. So they at least, I will give them credit, they try and do something different. Although it does kind of feel a bit like one of the Ice Age sequels where they're like, well, we got to have something for this character to do. Because he was in the other movies, you know,
yeah,
donkeys.
You'll have that.
But I mean, it's in 3D, so it looks cool.
They really need to not care about what happens to the donkey, because he's not really. I mean, he makes kids laugh, but beyond that, not a very compelling character.
Yeah, I mean, it's it, it for. I took my kids; they loved it. you know, the families in the audience, they love it.
I can't wait until the day when your kids are like, that movie sucked.
Oh, it's
coming. That's how you know they'll be growing up.
It's coming.
I can't wait.
Speaking of movies, well, okay, so my thing is, I'm actually going to say that Shrek, the final chapter, kind of rocks because it serves its purpose. It doesn't like fail at what it's trying to do.
Fair enough.
So
I can see that.
Yeah. But speaking of movies that I thought did fail at mm-hmm. what they tried to do, we're going to do the box office segment in this.
Oh yeah, we're switching it up. People don't even know. People are losing their minds right now.
Insane.
They have no idea what's going on.
I mean, people are banging their heads against the wall. It's awesome. Yep. This is so we can talk about the human centipede in a little more graphic detail in the third segment. Because there's no way to talk about it without using graphic detail.
Oh, God. I wish I could say it. There's such a great joke there.
Anyways. So let's talk about the box office. You were a smart cookie last week by not taking me up on my bet. Because
I thought Robin Hood was going to do better than it did.
It did half of what you said. I think your number you threw out was 70 million.
You know, they should have had Megan Fox in it. That's really what it comes down to.
I am going to punch you in the face, and I'm going to kick you in the pantless groin.
The word probably just got out. That's my thought, is that...
It's absolutely right. The word got out that
it's not
a Robin Hood
movie.
Robin
Hood was not good, so people didn't go see it.
If I recall, and you could go listen to last week's episode, I threw out and I lowballed it. I said 42 million, and I was lowballing it. It did 36 million in the U.S. Yeah. It did pretty well overseas.
It's earned 42 million to date.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, if you would have bet, you would have been doing push-ups, which I'm pretty sure you would have just sat in your chair going,
Robin Hood really is just the Narnia 2 of this summer.
I don't know. I think Narnia 2 was a much better movie.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's clear, but...
I mean, there are some people over there. You know what's funny is I got flames about my Robin Hood review on Rotten Tomatoes, and from like Russell Crowe fan 867 or something like that. And they were saying, oh, well, you know, it's not supposed to be a Robin Hood movie. And they basically called me stupid because I didn't get it. And I finally responded, and I'm like, I get it. It was just a dumb movie. If it would have been a compelling story, I would have been okay with it.
Right. I don't understand that. One of these days, we're going to dedicate an entire third segment to the concept of you just don't get it.
Yeah, what movies we didn't get.
Yeah.
To a fact
I get movies. I mean, that's kind of the point of my entire job is to get movies. So I get it. It just didn't work. Yeah. You know, it's like Kevin Smith, like, you guys didn't get Cop Out. No, I got it.
I got it, yeah.
And Robin Hood, I got it. It clearly just doesn't work. And I think it's interesting to me is that second week of May is kind of becoming a hole.
Yeah.
In the
Speed Racer a couple years ago.
It was like Speed Racer, the Narnia movie. What came out second week last week?
Last year.
After Wolverine. Wasn't Wolverine
Star Trek was the second week. But it did. But Star Trek didn't do as well as Wolverine.
That's because the first movie the summer wasn't good. Mm. Didn't it go Wolverine then Star Trek or something?
Wolverine, Star Trek, and Wolverine up until Transformers 2 was the highest grossing movie of the summer. Opening weekend.
But that second week is kind of a not a good place to put your movie, especially if you're following like a really, really big opener.
Yeah.
First week opener.
We're running out of time here. What are your thoughts? Shrek's going to win the weekend? What do you think? I think so.
I think so. I don't think MacGruber's going to do that well. But I don't think they're really not hedging a lot of bets on MacGruber.
I think MacGruber will make a good 20 million.
I think it'll make between 20 and 25 million, and it'll do well over time. And I think
it's going to
have
really, huge video. Yeah, it's
it'll have a decent life on DVD.
It's going to be Harold and MacGruber.
But I think word of mouth is going to be better on MacGruber than it will be on Shrek. But then again, Shrek's a family movie, so of course Shrek's going to do well.
Yeah, and it doesn't have really... I mean, Prince of Persia next week, but there's really nothing to compete against it next week in terms of family movies. Although, it's a Walt Disney movie coming out.
Yeah, so I think Shrek will win the weekend
pretty
easily with Iron Man 2 coming in
70
second.
To 80. 70 to 80 is what I'm thinking.
I would go under 70. I'd take the under on that.
Push-up contest on that? Bet?
Nah, I'm good.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in our third segment, which is an important segment because this one does not air on the radio in Wyoming, and that allows us
and
to talk
really
about movies.
And we're really afraid that Vice President Dick Cheney is going to shoot us in the face if he hears about this movie.
Wow. I'm not worried about
that. Well, you said we're not on the radio in Wyoming.
Well, no, we're not, but just because he's from Wyoming. Does he even live in Wyoming anymore?
He might. He doesn't live anywhere. He lives in mystery.
Wow, that was a loss of a good joke. You really could have zinged it.
He lives in a bunker somewhere.
You live in a bunker somewhere.
That is in between Wyoming and Mars.
You're in between Wyoming and Mars.
Yep.
I'm just saying that. Anyways, we're going to talk about a movie that has been, let's just say, bugging a lot of people.
What's interesting is that there's no insects in this movie.
No, there aren't.
That's why it's called a human centipede.
Well, centipedes aren't human. Well, they're not human. Well, this one is. But centipedes aren't insects either. I forget who they are, but...
Interesting.
Did you not know that?
I did not know that.
I now have to look this up.
I thought they were bugs just like everything else that I don't like.
Well, they're bugs, but here, I'll find out what they are. Centipede.
In the meantime, Wikipedia. I will explain what this movie is about.
It's an arthropod.
Oh.
Chylodoptera. Because an insect has the three segments.
Melis. Demolition's expert. Sorry.
And actually, more accurately, this movie should be called The Human Millipede. Explain it. You go ahead.
Well,
then I'll explain
the
science.
Here's the thing about this movie is that it's not the... it's about a scientist, a German scientist in the woods, played by a guy named Dieter Laser, who's
fantastic
really,
in the movie,
really
by the
crazy
way.
Looking.
He is fantastic.
Intense and scary, and everything that is scary about German people is personified in this guy. And basically, he grabs tourists, and it starts with these two girls, and he grabs two girls and this other guy, and he's going to create a human version of a centipede. A centipede has the long body. Mm-hmm. And connect them through their gastrointestinal system. So essentially, like, the first one, like, they'd be connected.
Go ahead and say it, mouth to anus.
Yeah. So, like, the, you know, the
surgically attaches the mouth to the anus, so, yeah, it's a continuous digestive tract.
So, yeah, so you eat on one end, and it eventually comes out the other, the final end. And and this movie is the first sequence. So they are going to create a centipede, but they only have three. They do three in this movie. They connect three people in this movie.
Yes.
Or his intention is to. Although I think they kind of spoil in the trailer that he eventually gets three people together.
Well, yeah. Well, you haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, but I feel like I have.
Here's the thing with the movie is you watch it, and I'm glad that you know what it's about, and you know it's supposed to attach three people. He has a whole scene where he literally, like, pulls down a chart, and he says, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take off these pieces, I'm going to pull your teeth, and then I'm going to attach you this way. And you're watching it going, when's he going to do it? Because that's the whole point. As you're watching the movie, you're like, you know what's coming. So you have these milestones. First of all, you got to say, okay, when's he going to capture the people? When's he going to do it? Okay, when's the first person going to have to poo? I mean, these are these milestones in this movie that you have to watch, and you get to all of them.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're someone who really enjoys scheduling your life around when you're going to be able to watch someone else take a poop, then this is the movie you've been waiting for. but really, it's... It's one of those.
Are they
going to
use that? Is that going to be on the poster? That'll be on the DVD cover box.
Oh yeah. Well, I tried to get them because we sponsored a screening in Cleveland, Ohio. Was last week.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter when it was. And I tried to get them to put that on the poster, but they would only put our logo. And I was like, you're missing out. But here's the thing about Human Centipede. It's one of those movies that you almost absolutely have to go see because it's so gross. You know, remember when Paranormal Activity came out? Everybody's like, well, it's so scary that you just kind of have to see it to believe that it exists. And Human Centipede's kind of like that, where it's so gross that you have to see it just to, you know,
well, the thing
to
is, well,
feel better about the fact that you don't have to digest, redigest someone else's food and not
well,
have
part,
teeth.
Part of the thing is it's here's the thing that's interesting. It's not, when I saw it, I was tweeting out and putting it on Facebook that I was watching it. And there's a lot of buzz because people are like, because it is this like way out there movie where you're like, wow, yeah. Three people attached together, you know, ass to mouth.
Roger Ebert, it blew him away so much that he couldn't even give it a star rating.
Yeah. And I mean, he makes a good point with that because he basically was like, well,
it's not
it's
really
there.
Even a movie.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's sort of, what's funny is it opens, it starts very much like a crappy American direct-to-video horror movie with two stupid girls on vacation. And then it suddenly takes this really European bizarre twist if you've watched European horror. Whereas now, at least for people in the States, about 10 years ago, it was all the Japanese, the J-horror and stuff from Hong Kong that everyone was buzzing about. Now, everyone's buzzing about these very extreme European movies from France or Spain or whatever, like Inside or Martyrs and these movies, which are good
or
movies.
High
and
tension.
What they, I'd take that maybe a little bit outside of it. But, I mean, these ones that do involve almost a mutilation, definitely a mutilation aspect, but not in a hostile. It's not like Hostile where it's just, let's just cut people up to cut people up. It has some twisted purpose behind it.
It's part of the story. Like, Human Centipede is about a dude attaching a bunch of people's mouths to a bunch of other people's anuses.
Yeah,
point of the story. He's like, it's to him, it's a science experiment.
Yeah, he's not doing it to just be like evil and creepy. He's like, because what he is, he's a doctor who would separate conjoined twins, and he's like, well, I want to do it. I want to make a bigger organism, and you know, I mean, it's and these poor tourists get kind of caught in the crossfire, so to speak. But
it's always those college kids.
It's those tourists. But
it starts
with
them trying to find all that very legal pot, and it ends with them being sewn to another person.
On the pot, yeah. But this is what's funny about
it
is I had people ask me, they were like, you know, is it gory? Is it gross? And I'm like, somebody asked what the gross factor. I'm like, really, it's not that gory. There's some blood in there, sure, but it's not a gore fest. It's not like if you've seen Martyrs or Inside, it's not like those. It's horror exists more in the oh my god, what if this happened to me kind of factor, and it kind of gets in your head. It's a psychologically disturbing movie, but it's really, you know, and it's funny because it's not as overtly gross as you would expect. It's just the subject matter. It's just you have to sit there and think about it and be like, happening.
It's the thought of your mouth being sewn to someone else's pooper,
and anyone's going
to
watch this,
redigest their poop.
Yeah, and anyone's going to watch this movie and be like, well, which is the best and the worst place? If you had to choose, you know, would you be the front or the middle or the back? You know, and so...
I guess you'd have to... The first one would be the best place to be.
That would be definitely if I had my brothers.
You'd still have the function of your mouth.
Yeah, you wouldn't have poop in your face.
The worst one would probably be the middle.
The middle's the worst.
Yeah.
But then I'm watching the movie, and I'm like... And I'm here thinking to myself, I'm like, well, and there's all this talk, the director's like, oh, it's scientifically accurate. I consulted surgeons, and I'm watching this going, there's no way that this thing would work. And then I reminded myself that I'm watching a movie called Human Centipede. And I'm like, well, there you go. Because, I mean, there's a risk of infection and tissue rejection. And then you watch it, and then it's more fascinating to watch because you're like, what if she pukes? Where does it go?
That's true.
You know,
it goes all the way back up.
And then there's E. coli poisoning. I mean, it's so scientifically, I don't know. The only thing that bothered, the most bothersome thing to me about this is the director's now talking about doing a sequel. And I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be like the next George Romero, where he makes one movie that's real groundbreaking and buzzworthy. And then he just does nothing else but like sequels and other versions of it.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing, this Tom Six guy. I don't know. I think he wants to make one more of these. He wants to make the full... It's like, this one's the first sequence. He wants to make the full sequence. I don't know. I don't know if... You can't really shock people that much the second time around unless you do something really crazy. So if he does something really crazy with the second one, it might work.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think the novelty of Human Centipede is really being spent on this first one.
Yeah. I don't know where else you could... I mean, you can't like be like, you know, Human Centipede 2 Electric Boogaloo or anything like that. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure where else they could
Although
go.
I think if my memory serves me right, he's already got most of the second one done already.
Yeah.
Because it's like he just like shot them together. Because, I mean, there are... I've seen production stills of the full Centipede.
Mm.
Of like 10 Delish. People in a room, you know, like around.
And on, for another scientific extent, it's really more of a millipede. Because a millipede has four legs attached to each segment as opposed to two. So, again, I'm watching a movie called The Human Centipede. So why am I
really?
That
you're really trying to draw some. Well, you really get caught up in the medically accurate. It sounds like you're like, well, if you're gonna be technical about it, it's millipede. Yes,
seriously,
if you're gonna be medically accurate, let's be medically accurate to the angiomorph. Before not an insect things.
What the hell are you talking about? You're just making up words.
What's their classification again?
You sound like you're on Star Trek going like, get the blue phaser.
I really want to be that guy, by the way. When I grow up, that's the guy I want to be. I want to be the guy that names random things on Star Trek.
That's really when they write scripts, they literally would put just in brackets tech, and they did have somebody who did that who just wrote shit in there.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's knock out the Fat Guy 5.
Yeah, this will be a fun one because it's
has nothing to do with the Human Centipede.
Yes, thank God. Although there is some ass to mouth in some of these movies. The five awesome SNL movies because of MacGruber coming out this week, and I
which,
you know,
one has ass to mouth in the movie? I don't.
None of them.
Oh, okay.
That's a joke. I really, honestly think MacGruber would be on this list if it, you know. If it didn't come out this week, it would be on this list. And because there's some movies on here. Let's just say they're just okay.
Well, to call them five awesome SNL movies, awesome is a
relative term.
Relative term, yeah.
Anyway,
awesome,
so we'll start
compared to Stuart Saves His Family.
Fair enough. It starts with Wayne's World, I think.
Wayne's World! Probably, yeah. Arguably one of the... Well, not the first big one, but the first big... decent one of the latest wave that started.
I think it's the, you know, it was really the first one where people were really like, oh, it's a Saturday Night Live movie.
Yeah.
Because I think when we talk about the next one kind of stands on its own and was about characters that, well, it's Blues Brothers is the next one.
Yeah. Which was a Saturday Night Live sketch, but
there was so much more to the Blues Brothers than just the Saturday Night Live sketch, you know, and the movies. Like, eventually they did CDs and, like, all that crazy stuff, and I feel like those characters were clearly not SNL, like regular SNL, like just SNL characters. Whereas like Wayne and Garth were kind of it was very sketch comedy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Whereas the Blues Brothers kind of was much more fleshed out from the
onset. And it's a good thing that they didn't, that there was a big gap between like the Blues Brothers and Wayne's World, or we would have gotten sketches about, you know, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, the movie.
Right.
And Fernando's Hideaway, the movie, or those two guys who torture themselves, the movie, you know?
Yeah, it would have been the Saturday Night Live dark era.
Yeah, exactly.
The movie.
The next one is a little respected movie, but one that I've always actually really enjoyed, and it's Pat,
mm-hmm.
which is based on Julia Sweeney's androgynous Pat character.
Mm-hmm.
Starring David Spade, not David Spade. David Spade played Chris in the show. Starring Dave Foley as her boyfriend / girlfriend, Chris.
Nice.
It's Pat's a funny movie. Part of it's due to Charles Rocket and Kathy Griffin are both in the movie, and they're hilarious. Mm. It was one of those weird little nothing direct to video movies that really was cute, and also has a cameo by the Ween.
Oh, fair enough.
Pat plays her tuba with the Ween.
Okay.
So, you want to do the next one? Because I don't think this one belongs on the list.
Well, the next one is a similar situation for me, the Coneheads. It's very underrated by everyone.
Including the people who made it.
Well, I think that, you know, the Coneheads as a sketch was always very funny, and it was always kind of one of the better, more prolific sketches of that of that era. And I thought the movie was enjoyable. It got a little weird, which you have to give it credit
really?
For getting a little weird. You know, that's one of the things is, if you're going to make an SNL movie, you need to take that joke, and then you need to jump off a cliff with it. And that's what, you know, a movie like MacGruber, I think that's what MacGruber does really well, is it takes some of the subtle jokes about MacGruber and just goes crazy with them.
Yeah.
And the Coneheads did that, and it was very strange, and I've always, I don't know, maybe I was just right age, right time.
I think so that's I've because the thing is with the Coneheads, it's unique in the sense that it was an old, old Saturday Night Live sketch that they totally dug up. I mean, all the other ones, Blues Brothers, it's Pat, or all of them were contemporary to what was going on Saturday Night Live at the time, but this was literally digging in back to the 70s. It would be like having the Jaws Candy Graham shark, the movie, like in 2005.
Fair enough.
The last one, little known fact that this is actually technically a Saturday Night Live movie, is Office Space. Based on
I did not know until we did this show research.
I really didn't know until I looked up Wikipedia. Thanks, Wikipedia. Because Milton episodes were on Saturday Night Live, which is the origin of Office Space, which has little to do with Milton, although he is key to the movie.
Oh, no, the movie's about Milton. That, they just want you to believe that it's not.
Yeah, and then they had to put
he's
Jennifer
really
Aniston
pulling
in.
All the strings.
Yeah. So, anyways, you want to knock out the honorable mentions?
There's
I don't
two honorable mentions. Wayne's World 2, which I will defend, is awesome. Wayne's World 2 is more of a like
crappy
rock
movie
spoof than anything else.
Wayne's World 2 is like American Pie 2, where they're like, we had this great idea, but what should we do next? Let's just have a big concert. Let's just have a big
right.
party. And I'm like, oh, it's just
and I enjoyed Wayne's World 2. Still it's do, to this day.
You're an idiot.
And then also, this is a relevant movie now, because it's hitting the festival circuit. Saturday Night, the documentary by James Franco, is a very cool, very intimate look at what goes into putting together a Saturday Night Live episode. It's basically the whole week leading up to the episode from last season where John Malkovich was the host.
Is he going to do a documentary about being on General Hospital too?
I think he was doing that for research for a role. But Saturday Night comes after he hosted and then went back and filmed what it's like. A very cool movie. It's very kind of a lo-fi thing, but it's a very interesting to see, you know, how sketches get in or out of Saturday Night Live. It's always been something that's kind of fascinated me.
Is it one where they sit there that they'd be like, oh, no, we can't use that. That's just too stupid for Saturday Night Live.
No, it's like this, it is like this American Idol, like really highly competitive, nerve-wracking, like there's a point where Will Forte is up for like three straight days. Like they spend 36 to 48 straight hours working on sketches to try and get them into the show.
I mean, do they show what some of the sketches could have been, and then you would have been like, wow. Because
they show a few where they go all the way to dress rehearsal and they're just terrible, and you're like, God, I'm glad that got cut.
See, to me, it would be like watching American Idol and like everybody gets kicked off and William Hung wins.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was just the episode that they did, but the ones that they didn't use should have been the ones that they didn't use.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying
it happens all the time. Well, where it's just they make the bad decision and the bad sketch gets in.
Saturday Night Live's always been sort of like a half and half hit and miss kind of thing.
Well, it's interesting because the movie, and this is, I don't want to belabor this too much, but the movie makes the point that Saturday Night Live is really kind of a generational thing. And it's whatever was going on, whatever Saturday Night Live cast existed when you were like in your high school years.
Yeah.
That's always going to be your favorite. Because it ebbs and flows and morphs along with what's happening in pop culture, which is kind of defined by that younger generation. So
I'll give you that, but my point is that there's a lot of crappy sketches over the years.
Oh well, yeah, of course. There's always, it's comedy. It's live comedy on a stage, so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So, but it's a really fascinating documentary. I think everybody should check it out. I have no idea where it's playing next, but right. I'm sure you could find out online.
Do that, audience. You have your homework.
All right. When we come back, we're going to do our homework or something. wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
I pity the fool.
Okay. Speaking of which, I got the A-Team box set this week.
Is it awesome?
It's awesome. It's a van.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
So, it's the original show. I cannot wait to watch it, but I have like 30 other TV shows that I'm watching right now, so I have to
try and
work that in somewhere.
This is what inspired me to do, and this leads into our next segment here, but inspired me to say that was I was watching Saturday morning cartoons, the 80s collection from Hanna-Barbera, and they have an episode. They not only have an episode of Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos.
Uh-huh.
But they also have an episode of the Mr. T show. Did you ever watch Mr. T? Mr.
No.
T!
Maybe. Who knows?
It was awesome.
I don't remember what I did.
It was way more awesome than the other stuff.
Pre-1998, so. Sorry to really
It was way
say.
More awesome than the other stuff that's coming out this week.
Fair enough. Which leads us into the world famous and really depressing this week, DVD Roundup.
Kersplat.
I only have one, and this is really stretching things. I would recommend that you rent this movie, The Messenger, with Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster, the Oscar, twice Oscar-nominated film.
It got nominated for, like, Best Song, so, I mean...
Well, no, it got nominated for Best Screenplay, and Woody Harrelson got nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Both very deserving nominations.
Yeah,
it's a very well written film, and Woody Harrelson's fantastic. Did you see it?
I just saw it because it did make pretty much my top pick for DVDs this week. My only gripe with the movie is I'm so tired of watching movies about soldiers, and they're all like alcoholic, partially violent nutcases. You know what I mean? They always make them all like, and they're listening to death metal.
I can see how that trend would bother you. This movie, it feels like it's the one that's like justified because it's about soldiers that have to go tell people that their like kids just died.
Yeah.
You know, it's the notification. It's a notification squad.
But
hard to watch.
Did you watch the documentary on the DVD? Because there's actually what I found more fascinating.
I didn't actually get a copy of the DVD.
Oh, okay. The DVD has a documentary of the, of the real soldiers that do this. And I think and my complaint is exemplified by that, because you see the real soldiers that go, and they're not brooding and cold and, you know, problematic and alcoholic nutcases. They're actually very warm and generous people. You see them talk, and because they deal with this, because in the movie there's like a whole scene where Woody Harrelson's like, don't touch them, you know, don't offer them comfort. You just say it and get out, and it's almost very cold with how they do it. And then when you watch the documentary, they're like, oh yeah, we don't do that. we help them out through the whole process. And
sometimes
everything.
There's traumatic license.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But it's a really tough movie to watch, and I think that it's worth seeing.
Mm-hmm.
However, I wouldn't necessarily say to buy it.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, mine, I'm just going to list a couple that are out. This is more a, hey, these are out, as opposed to, hey, I recommend them necessarily.
This is whatever is sitting on Kevin's shelf. Right
there is Valentine's Day. That's the big one.
Buy one and burn it.
Well, you know what? If you want to get laid.
Buy one and burn it.
And if you're
sacrifice that movie
to
the gods of relationships, and ye shall get laid.
If you can't wait till next week, it does have, at least the Blu-ray has a sneak preview of, or a teaser for Sex and the City 2.
Oh yeah, that's a totally.
Yeah, there's also Invictus, which wasn't my favorite.
Really bad.
You know, this is what I said about Clint. Clint Eastwood always makes like two Oscar bait movies a year, and one's kind of crappy and one's really good. You know, like he made like Gran Torino and The Changeling, and he made like Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima. This one is, he just didn't make the really good one this past year.
He just made the crappy one.
Yeah, but it's out, anyway. And it has picture-in-picture stuff. And it has Matt Damon. the Jeff Dunham Show. I used to like...
kind of funny.
It was cute. The problem is it was like six episodes. They really didn't give it much of a chance. And they canceled it, claiming it was too expensive. But if you watch the show, you're like... This thing had to have been, they must have spent dozens of dollars on this thing, because it wasn't,
They canceled it because they had to pay Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, it's a guy with puppets they were for like, crying out loud.
This is too expensive because we have to give this guy a paycheck.
Yeah, well, because he's all over it, obviously. And
yeah.
But probably, I guess, other than that, the best one would be Carlito's Way on Blu-ray. That came out on Blu-ray this week. That's a good movie.
Okay.
Arguably,
I wasn't really impressed with the Blu-ray, to be honest with you.
Well, there's
it's not that I don't like the movie. It's I just wasn't impressed with it.
No, it wasn't like... It's not... There are movies that are like Blu-ray movies. Like, I just watched Avatar on Blu-ray, and that's a Blu-ray movie. You know, if you're going to get Avatar, get it on Blu-ray. Buy a high-def TV just to see it. You know, Armageddon, I watched on Blu-ray. That kind of stuff. I mean, it's good on Blu-ray, but you know, it's arguably Brian De Palma's best film, his last great film.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then the stinker would be Extraordinary Measures.
Definitely.
Because it stinks.
Definitely crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to theatrical reviews. Time to wrap those up. Kevin saw Shrek the Final Chapter and said...
It kind of rocks, I guess.
And I got on the hyperbole train for MacGruber and said it rocks. Go see MacGruber.
MacGruber!
Next week, I'm taking the week off. That's right. Week off. And the notable Fat Guys guest Fozzie Bear will be here for Sex and the City 2.
Yes.
And Prince of Persia, two movies that I could do without in my life.
Wow. Early.
In the meantime, you can go to fatguysmovies.com and read stuff and listen to other podcasts. We have tons of other podcasts, so do that. And we'll see you next week.
Oh shit! You know what we forgot to do? We forgot to do the listener voicemail.